Perfect. That's where they have the Democrat.
Yeah, that's what he's always looking for.
Two-year. That's all I need. Give us some time to figure that out.
That's her mother.
Really?
Yeah. So, can I have a
Tiffany
Tiffany and a second.
You want? Okay, the next resolution authorizes the mayor to execute a consultant agreement with Strong Outcomes LLC for services to be provided to the CAC. This is has to do with the inventory, the open space and natural resources inventory that the CAC is working on. This money has already been approved. This is just for them to use some of the money to write up the final report. And an introduction in a second.
I'm sorry, who was that?
Rich, first and a second.
Eileen.
Thank you, Eileen. Mm-hmm. I promise we'll arrange tables. This is a third resolution authorizing the Chief of Police to execute a memorandum of understanding with the Hudson City School District. As you know, we've been in touch with the police about implementing the Handle with Care initiative. Excuse me. And this, the Chief needs an MOU with the school district to allow this to proceed.
So can you explain what Handle with Care means? What is this?
This is a program.
What I was trying to call it. Talk a little bit more about it.
Sure. Basically, what this is an initiative out of West Virginia that we wanted to bring to the city to deal with some of our youth that are experiencing trauma with police at present. So basically, what this does is any youth that's near trauma situation, it could be a raid, it could be a car accident, anything involving an officer, they would send a memo to the school district to say this youth has suffered some kind of trauma and handle it with care. Because we were seeing a lot of behavioral difficulties and a lot of times there's a route to that.
Because that way it's not exposing the child as far as, you know, putting the business out there, but it's giving the people in the district or the school some type of sensitivity towards what that child needs to be going through. And you said this was out of Virginia?
Yes.
West Virginia?
Yeah. And this is in a partnership along with the Sheriff's Office as well.
Okay. So, quick question. With the MOU, does it explain in here like how the school will attend to that child?
Yeah, we met with Maria Sutmeyer, and there's going to be an email or a call that's going to go out each time there's a situation, and then she's going to filter that information down once she has the student's name to which correct building and how they will go about it. So sometimes it's just about being aware of a situation that happens, and it could be like a student is acting out, a student is, very quiet even. So it's just keeping an extra eye on that student, and if there is something that comes up, being able to give them the support that they'll need in that situation.
One last question. I like that you did this. This is very good. And that the concerns was coming out from the past raids in the city. I wanted to know also, I lost my train of thought, I'm sorry. Are you going to keep track of this and follow this? So, say for instance, it happens to be another raid, and we see through pictures of the media that there were some children involved. Are you going to keep in contact with the school to make sure that the children that we, the public, see that is involved is being handled with care?
Yeah.
So that there's nothing that comes out of it where the child says, no, they told everybody in the school. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're going to
keep the council updated.
Yeah, quarterly meetings, and I'll update the council after those meetings. Right now, we're looking at a year pilot, just
fourth resolution authorizes the mayor to execute a contract addendum for engineering services. This is just to extend the contract of the existing grant writer.
I'm sorry, which resolution are you on?
Number four. A resolution authorizing the mayor to execute a contract addendum for engineering services.
Thank you.
Any questions?
So this $30,000, that's like a ceiling, correct? Because when I looked at the budget, like year to date, we spent $7,000 for grant writing. Last year was like $17,000. So is this like the maximum that we're allocating?
Mayor, would you like to speak to that?
That's correct, yes. That's correct. And you should, I don't know if it's coming through on this month's bills, but you'll see additional bills from them for our additional service.
Thank you.
And why are we increasing it?
We're not increasing anything. We're adding another year. We hired them for a year, and we're hiring them. I'm off suggesting we hire them for another year and give them one more year to see how they function. We didn't utilize them as aggressively as we thought we would, predominantly because of the DRI. But I hope next year that we do more requests for grants from them.
Introduction?
Rob.
Rob. Second?
You said it says the contract amount shall be increased by $30,000, and you're saying it's not paid?
It's just extending it from the prior year. You're saying it's keeping it in place.
Thank you.
They still have to bill.
So it brings us through July 31st of 2018, so that includes the next grant writing season of next year, then?
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. This is just fee, to contribute to a feasibility.
Right. Oh, okay. I mean, right, as a feasibility, like, do we have a scope of a feasibility study that's like, this is just a pencil?
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Because that's actually what the county is, what you're doing right now as well. And lastly, a resolution to stop money set aside as part of the 2018 budget process for compensation committee to administer salary increase. Let me say a couple of things in behalf of this. $50,000 was set aside by Tiffany Hamilton last year, but never designated for salary increases to the city clerk, the code enforcement officer, and the city treasurer. Now, in the city treasurer's, let me give you the rationale for all three increases first. The city treasurer has had a number of new responsibilities, including administering the lodging tax and the recently passed Energize New York Benefit Financing Program. Heather didn't want us to really include this because she, is an elected official and thought it should come up after she's coming up for office herself, or not at the same time while she's in office. However, the mayor and I thought that because it was already designated in last year's budget, it was a fair and just increase. Now, the city clerk has taken over the whole parking bureau administrative functions, and that's sort of one of the justifications for her relatively modest increase. And lastly, the code enforcement officer now has new responsibilities, including fire inspections, and once the vacancy law is passed, he'll be the enforcement mechanism for the vacancy law. So, the mayor and I do recommend these salary increases. Any questions?
Yeah. I think it's a lot of money. Who came up with the amount of the increase?
The City Compensation Board, which is composed of a number of people. The amounts were all sort of based on number of metrics. The main thing is that this was in the budget from last year's budget. Now, why they didn't...
How come they didn't pass it?
It was passed in the budget.
Okay, so...
The money's there.
The money was there, but it wasn't...
It wasn't allocated to these three positions.
It wasn't put to the ground. I'm just trying to understand it. As I know, the treasurer's office has a staff, and the city clerk has a staff. You know, but I don't know.
Rick, did you want to say something?
Yeah. In last year's budget process with the previous mayor, I wasn't that involved. I think Tom and I were peripherally kind of had an idea, but not really. They set aside $50,000 for very specific raises for the treasurer, for the city clerk, and for the code enforcement officer. They all were part of the request. They all thought they were grant, they were needed, and they all were approved. Why they didn't pull the trigger that last year, I don't know on these. But they said they'd be part of a compensation committee to be formed, and that compensation committee would approve the raises and anything else that came along. So we sat down, we had three different meetings. We went over each person, what they asked for last year, what they're currently doing. As Tom mentioned, all three have current responsibilities, new responsibilities. The treasurer had not been given a raise. If she had been given a raise historically, consistently throughout the years, she'd probably be close to $80,000. She asked she's embarrassed this is going on. She asked that wait until, as Tom said, until next year's budget, or she'll pass on. I think they all three are merited, personally. Craig has taken on a lot of responsibility. If you look at his salary, they have help, but they need probably more help. Tracy's taken on the parking bureau. The city's changed a lot. I'm sorry? So, I mean, it should have been last year. If you recall, last year they changed the mayor's salary from $45,000 to $60,000. But there was history behind that where it had been $60,000 for years before we got into pensions back and forth. There were some pensions issues, I believe, with the treasurer's salary as well. So, you know, we've all talked about it. We agreed. We think it's fair. We'll be looking at next year's salaries, you know, per hour being changed. It's just time to be as fair as we possibly can to everybody that deserves it without breaking the bank. And this money was specifically put aside for this reason. So it's in your budget. It was approved in your budgets for this year.
I think we probably will need, assuming this one passes,
yes,
we'll need a resolution to move the money out of contingency to each of the .1 accounts where it will be paid.
It's just mechanics.
I don't think you can pay
a
salary out of contingency.
Is it a contingency fund then?
That's what it says.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And maybe that has changed, but you know.
Okay. Rich. Yeah, I would just like to say that in the past 9 months of being on this council, all three of these people have been totally amazing. Whenever I've needed a question, whenever I've sent an email, the amount of research work that Tracy will do to find out the information, to go back and look into old files. Heather has been really helpful with any questions. And on the Finance Committee, and we are so lucky to have her as the treasurer because she's super smart. She knows what she's doing. We're really lucky to have Heather as treasurer. And Craig on code enforcement, he's a great guy. And, you know, I worked with him on this grant and this solar panel grant, and he's been amazing. And, you know, you have to learn to work with each person, but all three are really quite amazing. And we're really all lucky to have them as working on the city.
So,
any other council questions?
Yeah. Who's on this compensation committee?
All the department heads.
BEA and department
heads. BEA and department heads. Any other council questions? Public?
Yeah, thanks. I'll be quick. I don't really know. All these people have been great service to me, and they're all very accessible. I know most of them, the clerk. I've worked very closely with Tracy for years, and I've seen her take on more and more responsibilities that her staff cannot take. I remember she became the records access officer, and that was a headache. And I added to her headache regularly, and she didn't get an answer for that. So she gives great service, and she's got a lot of responsibilities. And the other two officers, good service.
Thank you.
I'm a fiscal conservative. I forgot to say that.
I think Rebecca was next.
I was curious who is responsible for the lodging tax enforcement.
Well, Craig is the enforcement. Heather has to log it all and do all that accounting aspect of it. So it's great. Don?
Yeah, thank you, Don Moore. I agree with everything that's been said here about these three individuals. And I will point out that one of my most important factors about city government is experience. And you have good people, as you do with all three of these people. It is imperative that they be retained and paid a wage that is commensurate with their experience and their ability within this particular region. I think all three of these salaries are well within that. So I'd ask a question about the traffic bureau. I mean, I would assume that the traffic office is no longer a staff, and that Tracy's salary would somehow be offset by the absence of that person in the office, if I'm correct about how the staffing patterns work.
She has a new direct report that she did not have previously.
Okay.
And so we split it up. The police, the actual police are working with the traffic enforcement officers, but Tracy has a new staff person that oversees the collection of money and all that. And that is a brand new report to Tracy.
At the salary level that the previous director of the office had?
For the parking enforcement?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Yes.
So what would...
Identify yourself, please.
Oh, my name is Rebecca Ford.
How are you?
I live on Jenkins Parkway, in the city board. So what would the salary be like, what is the number for these three people? Is that relevant here?
That's right, it's in the resolution, yeah.
Yeah.
City treasurer will be increased to $75,000, the city clerk to $75,000, and the city code enforcement to $55,000.
So it's not like an even split over $50,000, and this was.
No, this doesn't even. This doesn't use the entire $50,000.
Right. So what happens with the rest of the money?
Would you like that?
Better see it somewhere else.
Tom and I are going to rest.
Goes back into the general fund.
Well, that does bring up the real question that I actually had, which was, how about a housing commissioner? Coordinator.
That's a conversation we can have in the new business later, but it's possible. There's a number of ways of we've been thinking about how to finance a housing advocate, commissioner, whatever we're going to call it. But I think the HCDPA might be the proper mechanism for that, given their what they may have available and what they're willing to do. But I think it's possible. It is a city agency. You know, everybody has pretty much is almost all elected people, so it's a possibility. And it's, you know, one of the key features of the housing task force of which you were part. So it's definitely on the table. It's definitely something we're trying to fund and figure out how to fund. Yes?
I would just echo what Don said. I think it makes sense that if you have good people, you should pay them what they bring into value to keep them around. And I guess I would also extend that logic, you know, to the entire sort of city staff. And you're just looking at these three right now, but we should keep in mind sort of other departments that...
Council president, for example. So, any more questions? Oh, Dominic?
Yeah, just one of the things that, as I've been looking at with Rick and everything, with the ADA coordinator, is most a lot of other municipalities that have adopted the ADA coordinator, they utilize their code enforcement. Wow. So this might be, another task that we can hopefully put on to the code enforcement, and this will work hand in hand with creating some sidewalk issues and things like that. And also as another part of the incentive, getting that designation. So maybe that might be something that could be also worked.
Okay, do I have an introduction in a second? I'll reach you on. Okay, we still have four laws on your desk.
Someone came in because they thought it would be a souvenir. And we
regarding a engineer study on the ADA.
I thought it was supposed to be here, but I don't see it.
Andy did. I mean, I thought it was too.
Yeah, I don't see it.
Yeah, it didn't. Maybe it came in too late. Or?
No, she did it because I double checked with her. But I certainly you can address it next week, I guess.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what? I actually told Tiffany about it. It's not on. No, that's the repairs thing, I think. Wasn't in here, but it'll definitely be on our next meeting.
Thank you.
So you have to look forward to a request for a feasibility study for making City Hall ADA compliant.
And he did tell me this before the meeting, so it was assumed that it was.
Yeah. So it won't be a surprise when you get it. I'm sure it'll be on the website tomorrow if you want to look it up.
Do you know the cost?
I believe it was 30,000.
30 to 40,000.
30 to 40,000. Heather pointed out that even if the flu is prohibitive to change City Hall into an ADA compliant building, that having the feasibility studies done would enhance the market value of the building if we ended up selling it. So that piece may to a certain degree now, but it wouldn't be money wasted. Public comments about anything?
Hey, hi, Timothy O'Connor, First Ward. Two environmental concerns have come to the fore recently, and the city knows of none of them. Neither have been covered on gossips either, although maybe they will after this. The first is the runoff from the school, the middle school, and that was an old problem, decades old problem, and how the in the capital project, how they decided to deal with that was to build new expensive infrastructure elsewhere. Now both are eroding, but I've been talking to Superintendent Sutmer about it for the last 2 weeks. Lots of emails back and forth. She sent Mr. Keeler out there today. So she's interested and she's being a good sport about it. But this is city property. I should think that the city would keep an eye on it. So far nobody has. You've got a conservation advisory council. I recommend that you advise them. Maybe they'll look into it. I shouldn't be doing it.
So, Dr. Rob Perry?
Dr. Rob Perry, well. Anyway. The second issue is that on September 6th, the Coruso company got its freshwater wetlands permit from the state now. About 30 people, none from the city, unfortunately. Maybe Ken Dow, because he was on the copy list for an address, city attorney. Is there an address for city attorney?
There is. Usually it goes to City Hall and it gets handled.
And you haven't seen that. Okay. Well, that was on the 6th, and it was responses to the comments. The state got it wrong in 2010 when it issued the first. Well, 2009 it issued a freshwater wetland permit. This was challenged by Scenic Hudson in 2010. When there was a freshwater wetlands appeals board in DDC. That was a great thing to have. It's now gone. So there's nobody to go to anymore for an appeal. However, Scenic Hudson was in its rights. Now we've got another freshwater wetlands permit built on the last one, and it's even worse. They've inverted a hierarchy of laws. So at the bottom of all of the permit standards, the laws governing the permit standards, the last step you get to is mitigations, and it's kind of like real estate on the table. So what the DEC did is said, they said, oh, great, they're going to mitigate, fine, they can have their roads. So there's like a quid pro quo, which is fine, but the quid pro quo is supposed to be the last thing in the process. The first thing is supposed to be a look at alternatives. And I wrote in my comments, I wrote 31 pages of comments, the city has adopted a preferred alternative in the LWRP. It's part of our local law. They didn't even look at it. The state just ignored it, and the word alternative does not appear in responses to comments. Now, we're being rolled, we're being bulldozed, pushed back constantly on this. I would hope, it certainly is the job of a legislative entity to come up with some kind of... It could be your job to push back. I think there's some room for legislation here. For instance, if we define the causeway, what a causeway is, in terms of what New York State law already says it is, I would hope that the Common Council gets to that as soon as possible, sooner than later, because we're getting rolled.
Thank you. Any other comments? Yes.
Meredith Smith, the Ford. I just wanted to call attention to some very serious traffic problems that are ongoing in the Fifth Ward. I've reached out to my alderman, Dominic Ferrante, and he and Eileen have put together a ward block meeting, for Thursday. And I'd encourage, isn't it Thursday? Wednesday. That's right, Wednesday, because Thursday is election.
6 o'clock.
So Wednesday, 6 o'clock at Crosswinds. And while this is meant, you know, primarily as a ward meeting that many of us have asked for to meet with our representatives to stress our extreme and ongoing concerns about traffic and accidents in our ward, obviously that affects people in other wards as well. Primarily the issue is with cars that speed from Fairview through the boulevards, hitting recently an elderly woman, a couple days later a cat, last year a cat killed a cat right before that. I've reached out to my supervisor in the past. He claims, you know, traffic laws are governed by the state. There's nothing to be done. We've all in this neighborhood gotten the runaround, and it's a very, very heavily residential neighborhood. A lot of elderly people, a lot of children, a lot of pets in the streets, and a lot of cars just zooming through, you know, from Fairview as a shortcut. And they'll pop out into the third ward, so I'd encourage third ward constituents who are concerned to also come. But this is an issue that's, you know, a citywide problem. I look forward to the meeting, and I hope you guys can help publicize it. And we just need to get this in hand before somebody is killed, because it's gone on for way too long, and there has to be something to be done. The police always cite staffing as an issue, but it just is the case that that ward is very under-policed. You know, there's a very lack of police presence relative to other parts of the city. I get it, there's scheduling problems and perceived needs elsewhere, but, you know, someone's going to be killed if this doesn't get addressed soon. A lot of animals already have been killed in the few years that I've lived there.
So it's mainly Glenwood, right?
Glenwood is the main place where there have been, yeah. I mean, I've seen several animals, and recently the elderly neighbor hit by a car recently. And a lot of us walk our pets there, a lot of kids play in that street, but people do drive down Oakwood as well. You know, one street beyond that. Yeah. But Glenwood is the prime speed zone because you can zoom from Fairview right past the park and just down, you know, it's just a shortcut instead of going all the way along Fairview to Green Street. So it's a major problem. Something has to be done. You know, we've talked about speed bumps. But anyway, Eileen and Dominic, I appreciate you guys setting up a meeting. And I'd love for any input and thoughts about this from everyone else on council, because we're going to make sure people in the ward have presence at the next police committee meeting as well, and just keep the pressure on until this gets resolved. So, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
I have Linda Musselman, 4th Ward. I have a couple things. Traffic issues. 300 block of Columbia was torn up 2 weeks ago. Attributed, I would imagine, to the columns, so heavy trucks roll past that particular area. They're going to be digging up in front of the TSL, I think tomorrow it starts, the same problem. The collapsing of the roads, the heavy traffic from the gravel trucks, as well as other trucks, simply is wrecking our city. So whatever, I don't know where the lawsuits are and all that. It's extremely expensive for us to keep sort of pushing this issue off and not getting these trucks out of our city. So it's two issues about traffic. The next comment I have is I visited the daycare center today. This is part of the John L. Edwards conversation, and asked Carol Gans to come tonight, I believe. In the discussion of moving things around and opportunity to collaborate with some of these services in one place, I don't want to dismiss the importance of the daycare center in this conversation. So just to bring that back up in terms of the city possibly putting that in John L. Edwards or addressing the needs, because it's heavily used, they don't have enough room, and they are squeezed for space. And Carol, you want to say something? You're there.
Yeah, well, I can speak. I've been a resident of Hudson for 47 years, a taxpayer in the 3rd and 5th wards, 5th and now 3rd wards for 37 years. Worked in the Hudson City School District for 40 years, spent 25 of those years in and out of John L. Edwards, and I've watched its development. We were really proud when we were there because it was the center of the community. It was a place where you could walk to. Children and families could walk there, and it's adapted, obviously, for children. So I urge you to consider, I know, I mean, the rumor's been for 20 years that we're going to sell John L. Edwards School. You know, we want to do it, and the county's interested in it. That you really think about what the city needs. We have so few services for youth. We have almost no vacant land in the town that we really need to think about how we're going to economically retrofit that building for whatever you choose to move in there. There's also a lot of land associated with that. And we had talked about doing a nature center, a nature walk, a nature trail over the years. So I just want to stick my two cents in there. The town of Coxsackie has a YWCA. We don't have one anymore. When I was over there, the youth department used the school at least 4 nights a week for basketball. I know because I opened the door many times for them.
This is at John L. Right?
This is at John L. And really think, because this could be your last opportunity to really service the youth of Hudson.
I just want to say that, you know, we have been considering everything that you have been saying, and as far as the collaboration with the county and the city, our main concern is that the youth are included. So I just want you to know that, and meeting and working with the mayor as well on the issue.
In addition to the potential of the JLE for the daycare center, I've also entered in conversations with other alternatives. As you know, that recently the Hudson Housing Authority was awarded a large amount of money to build a new structure. So they will be in touch with you. It could be a brand new facility.
A lot of options available right now.
Thanks. The superintendent gave an impression, I'm sure she didn't mean to give, that the Colorado company has no other alternative but to use city streets, which we know is not true. But as soon as they built that road up to the mine, they were ready to get the crossing permissions at the state routes. But they wanted more. They wanted a bigger road. They wanted to intensify operations. So they held out. And one of the things that they pretend is that it's a one-way road across the one-way road, and it is not. It is zoned, and we designed our zoning to accommodate that single lane as a two-way road. Unfortunately, one of the great, and I'll close with this, this is potentially another legislative issue, one of the great challenges to our city right now is that we have an assistant attorney who parrots that it is a one-way road, and this has just got to stop. We're being rolled, and this guy's not even helping us. He's hurting us. Thank you.
Anything else? Yes. Follow-up to my sent about last time at the regarding the city cemetery. A few weeks ago, Peter Young and I visited Oakwood Cemetery on Troy, which I recommend everyone to go visit. It is a beautiful cemetery. It has a beautiful chapel with tons of chimney glass, and the Uncle Sam is actually buried there. Right. So the reason why we went there is to compare what they've done, which is a 20-some-odd-year process of turning around their cemetery so that it is now a living, breathing, so to speak, part of the community where they do events every month. They have live tours. They have a daffodil brunch in the spring where they do gala events there. And they run a 300-acre cemetery. It's a board of trustees. And about a $300,000 budget, all of which is zero taxpayer funded. So it is all privately donated. We have a smaller cemetery, which the taxpayers fund. So, but it's a lot of work. and it's a lot of volunteers, and it's, you know, it's putting up gravestones and cleaning them and, you know, by hand and washing them, so it's work. They do it. So we are continuing the conversation. I recently participated in a webinar to give more information about cemeteries, and just as a final plug is to say Kelly from Spotty Dog is doing a tour of our cemetery the last Sunday of October. I'll remind people we're doing it here in conjunction with the Hudson Area Library, where she gives a tour of the cemetery. She has, from the Evans family crypt, which you could say that she has the keys to. And so it's a great tour, and it's the Sunday right before Halloween, so it'll be perfect, and I highly recommend people go. And we have a really important historic cemetery. It's interesting to know, and it's really about thinking of our cemetery as a park, as a sculpture garden, and as a part of our community.
Rich, how large is our cemetery?
I want to say 76 acres, and there's two different parts of it.
Right.
That's correct. That's the measurements from the amount of acreage,
but yes, and there's multiple options. Other cemeteries have been very creative in the maintenance of their cemeteries. So I highly recommend for anyone who's interested. After the tour, we're going to plan hopefully a friend of the cemetery group for anyone who's interested in getting involved. And it's really a good way to, you know, help foster yet another city park that we don't really utilize, and as well as hopefully to relate some of the tax burden here, obviously.
That tour was very successful last year.
Right, yes, it's great. It's great. Kelly does her stuff.
No, I have one last thing. Just to the public, we mentioned this at the last meeting about being at the school JLE closed, and on the 30th, the Columbia Opportunities was serving a Head Start program of 4 classrooms, and being that the school has closed, they need 2 classrooms, and they have a literacy program as well, but the need for the Head Start program is crucial. I've seen many concerns of parents posting on social media that they're very upset that, you know, their kids have no place to go. And speaking, you know, with the former principal of JLE, you know, he was telling me that how crucial Head Start is for children. You know, if they enter kindergarten without that knowledge, it's going back. And their future outcome is placing them, for the most part, in special ed, which is not very much helpful in their education. So if anybody has any information to with a space, some place where they can relocate, please reach out to Tina Sharp from Columbia Opportunities.
I'll talk to Tina Sharp, and it's very difficult. One reason is
the requirements.
Yeah. Right, the requirements of most places available require a build-out that is beyond, you know, what's financially feasible. So, but if you can think of something, you know, by all means, contact Tina Sharp. It's a desperate situation, and they don't have a lot to pay.
Yeah, right now,
their budget is between $1,500 and $1,800 a month. And they, like, as Tiffany said, they need 2 classrooms.
It was a total of 4, and they need 2 classrooms.
Yeah. Is that like they need the classrooms during school hours? Like,
yes,
it's
always, it will be from 8:30 to 2:30.
Yeah. Okay. That's why the regulations should come.
So as far as the requirements, it's like with the smoke detectors, where they are placed, and, you know, the exit doors and things like that. So the places that would have been helpful, you know, like St. Mary's, you know, it's already a school that's set up, but unfortunately they said their space is already taken and they could not give them any space. So we're still looking for it. You know, it's crucial. It's kids born every year, and it's a part of their learning assessment, so it's very much needed.
What about the Columbia Green? Is that Avenue Park?
You know, when it was located within JLE, you know, it's walking distance for most people. we're working on a bus route.
Yes. One more comment.
Sure.
On the appraisal, you didn't include the police station, the former police station, and the code enforcement. I'm just curious. I thought to sell property, we had to have some appraisal.
I think they may be done.
So what's that done?
They don't. They were agreed to be sold 2 years ago. Voted on to be sold by the common council. So both those buildings, once code, can go up for auction.
But we still don't need an appraisal.
No.
Well, I think I know there were some discussions about fair market value, particularly at the police stations.
But I thought that was part of when you did that, you had to have.
I think you need to have something in hand demonstrating what the value is. I think we may have that from the prior discussions about selling.
Did you want to have it postponed some more?
And I think part of it was also just to get a sense of square footage and value. So as council works with the county, you get an idea of what values are and square footage needs are presently and what we might need them to be so that we can fit it all together. So we're trying to stay out of it.
Of course, if we use the square footage paid for in the building now, 300 block, it would be $600 a square foot. I don't know if you're aware of that, but it was recently paid for a building on Warren Street. Pretty many. But anyway. Also kind of relevant. Anyway, anything else?
Come on.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay, stay around and sign your resolution, please.
Yes, once.